Hi, I'm Michelle. Welcome to the Umbilical Cord of the Gourd, where I listen to my best friend Maggie tell crazy stories from her life. Hey, Maggie.
Hi. I'm Maggie.
How are those peas, bitch?
I love frozen peas.
So, Maggie, what story are you going to tell us today?
Okay, I'm going to tell a collection of stories that all inform a greater story about the one time my parents walked around town for a week with
a dead lady
doing some shenanigans and photo ops, like one does, you know,
as one celebrates the Lord.
Yeah, so does one then celebrate the life of those that they have loved.
But actually, what is this podcast about?
So the like name of that story is Flatiron Stanley, but it's like telling an overarching theme of my life, which is that my family has like an incredibly dark sense of humor, and we talk about death in ways that make people feel super weird. And I think it's because everyone in my family is preachers, so everyone in my family has been to like a weirdly high number of funerals in their lives. And at some point when you do like 15 funerals a year for 30 years,
you know what jokes land and what don't.
Yeah. Also, death just doesn't shake you the same way it shakes other people. And like when you grow up in a house, both of my parents were preachers, and they both had parents that were preachers also. So also when you grow up in a house with somebody who's like, yeah, I got to cut vacation short because Stephen died. Then like at three, you're just like, yeah, death happens. And it's kind of funny. And people find that a little disarming.
So what's the first story?
So the first story happened when I was maybe nine.
And where were you at this point?
Austria. We were on vacation in Austria.
Oh.
Because my grandmother's from Austria. So we like went to visit family.
Österreich.
And then we did a bunch of other touristy shit. We were in this small town that had a bone crypt. And like, all of the skulls were in the front, all of the leg bones were on one side, all of the arm bones were on one side. So they would like bury people, and then once they decompose, they would dig up their bones and then organize them with everyone else's. But the skulls would also had paintings, and like sometimes like a poem painted on the side or flowers. The families would be like, this is representative of my dead family member. And then they would get a little painting. And I, at nine, all the enthusiasm in the world, look up at my mom and I was like, Mom, when you die, can I paint your skull?
Did she say yes?
She didn't say no. She was like, that's a really weird thing to ask, Maggie. And I was like, no, it's really cool. I want to paint your skull.
Everybody wants to have their skulls painted.
I still actually don't understand why a person wouldn't want to have their skull painted. Because it's better than just like rotting in a box, right?
Yeah, but if you're like, I'm going to get cremated anyway, you know?
Yeah. But we could have just chopped my mom's head off before we cremated her and then just preserved the skull and like not worried about the arm and leg bones.
Yeah.
Would have been an option.
But you didn't. You fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I did bring it up before she died. Let's also really quickly, I don't think I said this at the beginning of the podcast. My mom died of cancer.
Can you say recently or...
It was 4 years ago? 5 years ago? 4 years ago. So, relatively recently, but not so recently.
Oh, wait. What would you have painted on her skull?
At least one kitchen utensil. I just don't know which one. My mom liked kitchen utensils so much that one time she decided that it was, like, a little bit unethical how much money and thought she was spending on kitchen utensils. So she, for one whole year of her life, was not allowed to buy any new kitchen gadgets. So I don't even know if she had a favorite so much as just like a wild collection.
Yeah.
But when she got diagnosed, one of my first thoughts was, well, when you go bald from all the chemo, I can practice painting your skull on your bald head.
By painting your bald head.
No, so I never did paint her skull. But I think it's because I really wasn't getting the support I needed to chop off her head before we cremated her.
Yeah, that's a crucial step in the skull painting process.
Yeah, and if I had really thought about it, I would have remembered that our friend Lux chops up bodies for a living. and could have helped me chop off her head.
We have connections.
Yeah.
So, listener, if you ever want to get someone's skull chopped off, call us at 1-800-SKULL. Wait.
Got it. SKULBGON. Skull be gone.
That was not our ad, by the way.
No. That one was for free.
We're more creative than that.
Watch us not have anything else and then do an ad for Skull Beyond.
Don't doubt us.
Yeah, so like that's a good example of my family's fucked up humor. Another one is shortly before my mom got cancer, my dad almost died due to a staph infection in his leg. And it's important that everyone knows that nobody told me about this. So I found out because somebody posted on my dad's Facebook and said, "Hey, Jamie, I heard you're in the hospital. I hope you get better soon and that I can see you next Tuesday." And I called my mom and I was like, "Dad's in the hospital?" And she was like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, his leg hurts."
But didn't it last for like years?
Yeah, it lasted like for 4 years before the wound would close. So they had to remove like a human fist's worth of flesh from his ankle. And, like, ankles don't have that much flesh to begin with. And, like, the wound just wouldn't close until a year ago.
It's 2023 now.
21, 22. So it was 5 years.
That he just had a hole in his leg.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He had to go to the hospital. They had to go to the doctor, like, every week for 5 years, too.
And he had this, like, didn't he have this, like, crazy therapy kind of thing?
I think he, like there are medical journals. There are, like, multiple papers, I'm pretty sure, written specifically about my dad's leg. Because every single possible therapy known to man, he did. My favorite one was he had this thing. It was like a looked like overalls, but only for half one leg, and it would blow up.
So like MC Hammer pants.
Yeah, but no. It was like pool floaties, kind of blow up for his leg.
Like just the leg part or the whole overalls?
Just the leg part.
Oh.
Would blow up and then it would sort of I don't know how to use words for this. Listeners, imagine my hands are making the same motions as my noise.
Oh, like a arm floaty.
Yeah. So like an arm floaty.
But legs.
But his whole leg, just one tube for his whole leg. That would then the part that was inflated would move and it would sort of just massage his leg from the whole.
Because you can massage a wound to close.
But it wasn't the wound because it also it was a blood flow issue.
Oh.
Part of the reason it took so long and I'm not a medical scientist.
But we can make shit up.
Yeah. Is that your blood turns around in your foot. And so your circulation is super important, but then also you have a lot of lymph nodes in your feet to filter your blood, right?
Does it help more if you keep your foot lifted?
Yeah. So he also had to schedule in time every day to sit in a chair with his leg above his head for 5 years. And if he didn't, his wound got worse.
Holy shit.
And also he would sometimes we would be somewhere and he would be like, "I have to go home now and put my leg up."
Why didn't he just put his leg up wherever he was?
Because it's pretty challenging, actually, in public.
Oh.
When we would go to restaurants, though, we would always, ask for an extra seat, and he would sit in a specific place so he could put his leg on that seat. But getting your leg above your body, anywhere other than a recliner or a couch or a bed, is acrobatic.
And your dad is not an acrobat.
I don't know what you're talking about. That man is nimble. Nimble.
Wait, so what is the what's the story behind this?
Oh yeah.
We're not just talking about how nimble your dad is. Come on.
So the podcast is just a bunch of stories today about how flexible and acrobatic my father is. So my nimble father was in the hospital and I call just to check in, and I call, it's like a Sunday afternoon. And everyone on the other side of the phone is laughing so hard they can't breathe. And then they were like, "Yeah, we were talking about if Dad loses his leg in surgery tomorrow." We were making jokes about that. And Matt came up with a great joke, which is, have you ever seen A Christmas Story?
No, but I know the lamp you're talking about.
Yeah. So there's this like lamp and it's called Electric Sex, and it's like a leg lamp that has like black fishnet stockings. And it like the leg itself glows. And this is one of my family's favorite movies. And so my brother was like, if they cut his leg off, we can keep it and make an electric sex lamp. And the thing you need to know about my dad is that like his calves are the size of my head.
But it's like probably hairy and also gross because it has been decaying.
Also, like he's an old, yeah, like there's like rotting flesh on it.
And somebody should buy that as a
also
lamp.
Like he's an old man, so he also has probably like varicose veins and other stuff like this. Like electric sex is a confusing term for what this lamp would have looked like. But also beautiful. I would really like actually that as art one day. Maybe I'll start working on that. Okay, so I mentioned the painted skull thing. There were a lot of days when my mom was sick that we really like were like, oh, this is the day she's gonna die. And then she didn't, and it was fine. And this is one of these days.
Was she at the hospital or is she at home?
She was at home. And we just, but it actually was that she was really dehydrated because her body wasn't absorbing salt. But like when you're really hydrated, you feel like you're gonna die. Mm-hmm. And she just like, she was like, today is the day I die. I wasn't planning on telling this story, but I think it's necessary. So it was Easter, and it was the last day that my dad ever preached before he kind of retired, because when my mom was really sick, he went on disability because he again had a giant hole in his leg. And so this was like the last Sunday that he was preaching before he went on disability, which then like funneled into retirement. Also, my family decided that we should invite, I don't know, 14 people to our house for lunch. So I woke up at like 7-ish, prepared 8 different kinds of meat and vegetables and other things that we could then like throw on the grill or whatever after church. My dad and I, and maybe my cousins and uncle, went to church. My dad is really fighting to not cry through his sermon, and I was like, don't look him in the eyes, because if I make eye contact, I will cry, and then he will cry, and this will be very bad. So I'm just like, and my uncle is recording the whole thing for Facebook, but like right behind my head. I'm very aware that you can see like the shaking of my head. So I was like, no crying, just and then we get home. Like all of the most important people in our family and like close friends come have lunch with us. And my brother stayed home and just like sat with her and watched church online. That's why my uncle was recording it, so my mom could watch the Easter service from home. So then we're having lunch and my mom looks at me and goes, that's really nice that everyone is here, but can you please take me to my room? I think I need to lie in my bed because I'm dying today. So I rolled her wheelchair back to her room, put her in her bed, and then one by one, she said her final goodbyes to people. So, like, also, I think it's important to note, she lived for 6 more months.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, how long was this before she actually died?
She lived for 6 more months, and it was just, so, okay, so she said all of her, like, my uncle came back, and my uncle and my mom were really close. The woman who had been sort of my parents' boss when I was a child, who is now like really important, like a really important person to our family, came back, and my mom was like, hi, I know you're going to maybe Israel or something next week. If I die while you're gone, I just want you to know I want to wait for my funeral until you return, because I want you to do my funeral. So I'm just in the room like, this is chill. This is a normal day. This is fine.
Just the last rites.
Finally, everyone goes home. Like, finally, my mom was not pushy at all. So she was very passively like, hey, do you think we could ask people to leave? Because I probably should go to the hospital and die there. So we were like, I was like, yeah, not a problem. Hey, everybody, go home. Everybody goes home. My brother has, it's again, it's Easter and he's a school teacher. So he has spring break and he already has plans to go to the mountains with his friends for spring break.
What?
So he was like, do I go to the hospital or do I just go to the mountains? And I was like, ah, I think you can go to the mountains. I think that's okay. Like, whatever. So we take a last family selfie.
Oh my God.
We like put, we all get in the car. And my brother, like from the door of the car, takes a selfie with everyone. And then he's like, well, bye.
Bye.
Love you, Mom. I hope heaven's nice or whatever. So then we get to the hospital. And also, like, my mom's doctor came, like, immediately to the hospital on Easter, really nice, and was like, hey, you're not dying. Your body's just not absorbing salt. We thought if we gave you pills, but, like, I think my mom probably could have eaten, like, a small dog's size worth of salt and still not had enough salt in her body just because she had so little digestive tract left. So they put her on an IV drip and then she was totally fine. So I've had just this deeply traumatic day. And then we get, well, not just me, everyone, every yeah. single person in my family has had this deeply traumatic day. So she stabilizes. And then I was like, hey Mom, I actually haven't had anything to eat in like 8 hours. And I'm exhausted. Can I go to Bojangles? And she was like, yeah, sounds fine. I'm not doing anything. Also, I guess we called my brother and we're like, actually, Mom's not dying. So I drive to Bojangles and like I had a separate work phone at the time. This story is also beautiful. And I normally would check, keep an eye on it even on weekends and stuff because my job was super inconsistent and weird, which longtime listeners will understand is sort of my whole vibe. And I thought, you know what? I haven't actually like looked at my work phone in 24 hours. So I pull through the drive-thru line. I pay. I pull out my work phone. I have a voicemail from someone in Ohio, which was not so weird because I had people that I was working with in Ohio. And I clicked to listen to it. And it said, someone from the Fairfield County Jail is trying to reach you.
What?
And then there was some other stuff. And then it beeped. And then a voice went, hey, it's Big Daddy. I love you.
You know Big Daddy?
No! Also, I had gotten this. There had been a person who had this job before me who had this phone. And I guess, I don't know if she knew Big Daddy. I don't know. Also, I then downloaded it and sent it to myself in an email. So I have the recording as proof and I'm gonna find this. I really didn't know I was telling the story today. I fucking love this story.
Hey, it's Big Daddy. I love you.
At Fairfield County Jail. To accept this call, press 5. To refuse this call, hang up now. To block this call and all future calls.
But what about 9. What happened after that?
I then was so disoriented. I just pulled into a parking lot. I was like trying to leave, and I was like, I actually have to park and talk to someone because this has been a very weird day. And then I realized I actually forgot to get like my food. So they came and knocked on my window, and they were like, "Do you want your chicken?" And I was like, "Yes, thank you." And that was the end of that day. But Big Daddy, the hey, it's Big Daddy, I love you, is always a weird voicemail to get from a prison.
But also, especially when you thought your mom was dying.
Yeah, we're like, I spent literally the entire day being like, this is the day that my mom dies, but I also have to feed a dozen people, like, very nice food and watch my father retire and just hold a weird amount of emotions in as my uncle and my mother say their final words to each other. So it was a lot. Like, it was a big day. It was already a big day, and then Big Daddy.
Big Daddy knew that, though. Big yeah. Daddy was, like, trying to reach out to you to comfort you. All right. I think we have to get into Flat and Stanley.
Okay. Let me pour myself one glass of wine, because okay. Actually we're so ready for Flat and Stanley.
Yes. Oh, I haven't made – hold on. I haven't made a drinking game.
Oh, we've just been drinking willy-nilly. What's a drinking game?
Why can't we just drink whenever we want? Because there are rules to society. Come on.
Yeah.
How about every time that Maggie says the word mom, we drink to the dead.
Okay.
Cheers to dead mom.
Cheers to dead mom. Not just mine, but all the moms who have died.
Yeah. And I really hope that people don't think we're being insensitive about death, but also that it's nice to be able to joke about death.
So I have found that this is, of course, it's not like a hard rule, but like my experience is that people who have dealt closely with death appreciate this, and people who have not dealt closely with death find it
offended by it.
Not offended, but like they don't know what to do with it.
But I also think that it's like a very different thing to when like we first dealt with death.
I think Sarah's death was more traumatic, but I think that like laughing when you're super, super sad about things is really important. And I think that we were also doing that some when Sarah died.
Yeah.
Not the same. Also, Sarah's death was like super, she died in a car crash, right? So it was like, went to sleep having texted her about something super stupid 20 minutes ago, right. Woke up and she was dead.
It wasn't like you were seeing it coming at some
point. Yeah. My mom, like, it was a year, it was like 15 months where it was like, well, clock's ticking. And so, like, at that point, you got to make jokes because you can't, like, being sad for 15 months doesn't feel nice.
And it doesn't help anything.
Yeah. And also, like, it doesn't make the last 15 months of my mom's life better.
Yeah.
At one point, Nicholas was like, hey, I really appreciate how you talk about your mom because it makes me feel more comfortable talking about the death in my life. Mm-hmm. And I actually, like, I feel pretty strongly that, like, not making light of, but being comfortable explain, like, with this thing of death. Also, like, the people in my life who I really love who have died, it feels like a disservice to them to only be sad when I think about them. Of course I am sad. I am every day sad that my mom is dead, that my mom is not around, that I can't talk to my mom or ask her questions or tell her the story that you still don't know about how I accidentally tattooed my face. But like 98% of my experiences in my life with my mom were things that made me happy. And so like thinking about my mom as only something that makes me sad in the present is a disservice to who she was in my life.
This Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central on HGTV, tune in for our newest hit series, Bonafide. I'm Marguerite.
I'm Florence.
And we're the co-hosts of Bonafide. We put our superpowers together as builder and designer to come up with one-of-a-kind renovations that keep your loved ones close, even after they're gone. With our state-of-the-art construction methods, we can incorporate the bones of your dearly departed into your home, from the very foundation to the shingles on the roof.
Let's take a peek at one of our newest projects here in Palm Beach that we've been working on for Steve and his family. Or what's left of them. Sadly, Steve's mother Gertrude passed away last year, and she didn't want to just rot in the ground, so Steve hired us to put her bones to work.
Watch your step through the ribbed archway here. The first thing you see is this beautiful chandelier. It's based on the 18th century mandibular style, and it features 28 of Gertrude's pearly whites.
Oh my god, the teeth just make the light dazzle against the vaulted ceiling. That was such a good choice.
Now, let's see the master bathroom. If you look closely at the ulna framing the mirror, you can actually see where Gertrude broke her arm falling out of a tree in 1932.
You know, it's those details that really make a house feel like a home.
Check out the intricate tile work making up the fresco above this Jack and Jill toilet.
Can you believe this is made only from the bones and a foot? All 26 of them. And they come in different shades of off-white to keep the bathroom feeling super luxurious.
Want to see more of Steve's house? Watch Bonafide tonight on HGTV.
Okay, let's go to the episode of Flat and Stanley because I have negative 1 minute. Supposedly.
Can I first say that I think I said mom at least 87 times.
Oh, shit.
So I think we both need to do like a good few, several, like do some gulping. Flat and Stanley. So I had mentioned in a different story that once when I was living in Germany, I called my family. They picked up the phone, but instead of saying like, hi, how are you doing? They couldn't breathe because they were laughing so hard. And for kind of a while, like 2 or 3 minutes.
Wait, your mom wasn't dying at this point?
Yeah, sorry. This was before in probably June, early June of 2017. And my mom's cancer came in late August. Okay. So a few months before she got diagnosed.
Okay.
I guess my dad had already his wound, but it had healed enough that he could like walk and like be in places. There was a good 6 months where like he was just watching home improvement TV shows. really into RVs.
He loves wood.
He loves wood. I mean, wood's nice.
We're painting a very specific image of your father.
Which, like, also, if somebody only knew the things that they heard about him today.
A nimble wood lover.
Also with giant calves.
Because you also have a very big head. So it's like...
He has really big calves. So, call home. And finally, someone manages to get out. Mary John will take care of it. And I was like, what? Mary John was the preacher who followed my parents. So in my denomination, preachers move every like 3 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then like another preacher will come after them. But it's not like you get fired. You just go to a different church. And so finally, after several minutes of them just wheezing at me, they explain that it is annual conference. So at once a year, our denomination, this is very church polity focused, which I forgot about. Our denomination has a meeting every year for everyone in our conference, which is all of the preachers, and for each preacher, one church member who's not a preacher. So a bunch of people come, and one of our family friends was always the church member representative from the church where I grew up. She also had really serious cancer at like 35. She had like so many organs removed from her body. Oh.
But she was doing fine at that time?
At that time, she was doing fine. She's still doing fine.
Hey, just get your organs removed. You won't have cancer.
Honestly, actually, really public health announcement. If you have breast cancer and you have the option of removing one breast or removing two breasts, remove two breasts. Because so many people are like, nah, I'll just get the mastectomy from one, or I'll get a lumpectomy and it's fine. And that shit comes back. So just cut your tits off.
You don't need them.
But also you can get plastic surgery, right? Like you can get fake boobs. Or you cannot, and you can mow the lawn with your shirt off, which is something.
Oh.
My mom had a church member once who had to get a double mastectomy. And somebody was like, are you going to be okay? And this elderly woman was like, yeah, I've always wanted to mow the lawn without a shirt on. And I think that's brilliant. So, really, public health announcement.
Cut them titties off.
Cut both titties off. Anyways, so Allison came up, stayed with them. She knocks on the door. Parents open the door. And she holds up a bag. She said, hi, my mom came to visit. Because 8 years ago, Allison's mom had died, because sometimes old people die. And when she died, Mary John was the preacher of the church, and they had the funeral. Allison's mom, whose name was Anne, was cremated, and her ashes were split in half. And Allison spread half of the ashes, I don't know, in like the ocean or on Broadway or something. And the other half were supposed to go in the columbarium at the church. And at the funeral, Mary John said, don't worry about the columbarium ashes. I'll take care of it. So Allison didn't worry about them ever again until 8 years later, the funeral home was doing some spring cleaning. And they called her and they said, hey, we were cleaning some stuff and we like there was a shelf that we haven't touched in a while. And we actually found a bag of your mom's ashes on that shelf. Do you want them? And she said, yes, because apparently Mary John did not take care of it. Mary John totally forgot about this bag of ashes.
Oh, my God, Mary John.
So 8 years, this bag of her mom's ashes was just hanging out on a shelf for 8 years. And then she gets this call. She was like, yeah, I want the ashes. And she was like, what do I do with this? Like, this is a weird day. Mary John is long gone. She's at a different church now. But luckily, Allison was supposed to come stay with my parents for the week. And she thought, my mother, Anne, loved their house. I'm going to bring her with me. So she shows up with this bag of ashes and is like, my mom is coming for the week.
It's in like wasn't it in like a little purple velvet bag or something?
Not purple, but navy blue.
Blue. Okay.
Navy blue velvet bag. And my family, I called them maybe an hour later, and they had just been cackling for an hour about how this woman had, how Mary John had forgotten to take care of the ashes of this woman. And now they were just like hanging out. And then they decided that for the rest of the week, everywhere they went, they were going to bring this bag with them and like do poses and make funny jokes.
But what did they do with it?
So the first one they posted was very, very mild. Like they got in my dad's truck and bolted the bag into the truck, like put the seatbelt on and said like, we're going to dinner with Elizabeth and Allison and this is funny. That's not that funny. It gets funnier. They got a pair of sunglasses and they started putting the sunglasses on the bag to give it some personality. They took it to the grocery store and like took a photograph at the exit of like the aisle. There was one that, this one's brilliant, but only because of the caption. So the bag has sunglasses on and there's a glass of water with a straw right in front of it. And the caption says, we are 98% water. Which I think is beautiful because they cooked all the water out of her. There's one that's really disturbing because they put my dad's sunglasses and my dad's hat and a cup of coffee in front. And like somehow the hat is so shaped like my dad's head that like this one feels like a person.
What's the caption?
Flatiron Stanley enjoying a cup of coffee on our deck before heading out into the world this morning.
Okay, so if you're an immigrant child like me, you don't know what Flat Stanley is.
Ah, yeah. There is a children's book called Flat Stanley. And the plot of the book is a boy, maybe fourth grade, so like eight, is lying in bed. And a bulletin board falls on his bed, squishes him flat, and he becomes like paper thin. And so he just folds himself up, puts himself in an envelope, and gets mailed to people and places. And people, and like, you open up the envelope, and you're like, oh, Flat Stanley. And he's like, hi, how are you? And then he would take pictures and be like, I went to Paris.
But then this became a real thing.
Yeah. So like children, so like when kids read the book, they will then like, out of paper, make a Flat Stanley. And then mail it to a friend. And everywhere that friend goes, they have to then like pose and take pictures of it. I did this once and I mailed my Flat Stanley to my friend Alicia Johnson, who also knows both Mary John and Allison Stanley.
Wait, her Allison's name is actually Stanley.
Yeah, that's why this is funny. Whoa. Their last name is Stanley. So Allison's mom is Anne. So Anne Stanley was the name of the bag of ashes. It's incredible that you never knew this. Yeah, her name was Anne Stanley. So it wasn't a joke where we were like, oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Like, it's like Flat Stanley, but like
Anne
Fitzpatrick. No, her name was Anne Stanley. So we just started calling it Flat Anne Stanley. Because they would just show up and like pose with it like it was a person. But it was actually just a bag of fire dust.
From a dead woman.
From a dead woman, precisely. We assume, I've never been in a crematorium, they could be lying to us. Ooh, the next one is my favorite. This is my favorite. Also, like, they would, like, take this thing to restaurants. The one with water was, like, in a restaurant. And at some point, they were, like, making jokes about this and laughing. Somebody came up to them and was like, hi, I think it's very inappropriate that you're making such morbid jokes. Can you please stop? You're disrupting my day.
Gosh.
I agree. Counter that. My parents went to lunch with Allison. They went to lunch one day. They were like, oh, you know what we really need is we need a photo op with children in it. Unfortunately, we don't know any children. So they approached some random stranger's children and were like, hey, you want to pose with this bag of dead lady ashes? Like, here's the caption. Flat Anne Stanley enjoying the rocking chairs at Lambeth Inn with new friends. Then there's a rocking chair. In the middle of the rocking chair is this bag of ashes. And then there are children who I would say are probably 7, 8, and 12.
Okay. Just standing there, smiling. We know most of the, like, we know a lot of people who come to this week-long conference every year. We don't know these children. These were strangers. My parents approached strangers.
Yeah, I think just taking pictures of other people's children is generally, like, a lot.
Man, that's my favorite one. The next one. So their house is very close to a Cherokee reservation, which means their house is very close to a casino. And one of the, like, rules of being a Methodist preacher is that you're not allowed to gamble. And so in my entire life, we've never been to this casino. We lived in the same town. Like, we lived 5 minutes away, and I've never been to this casino. My parents don't gamble because they're not allowed to, and my mom doesn't break laws or rules. They went to the casino for the express purpose of getting a photo op. So they put this bag in front of the slot machines with sunglasses on inside. There are three pictures in this post. Two of them in front of the slot machine. One of them with Flatiron Stanley in the guest bedroom that wasn't being used for the week. And the caption said, Flatiron Stanley went to play the slots at Harrah's of Cherokee last night. Slept in Sunday morning while the Western North Carolina annual conference closing worship took place across the lake.
There's just, like, so much effort that went into this.
This is all they thought about for a week. They also then got a bunch of my childhood toys out. So my grandfather built me, like, a rocking chair that, like, a baby can go in. And then I also had, like, a wagon. And, like, they just put this thing in my childhood toys. And the last post was, it was our joy to host our dear friend Allison Stanley and Flatiron Stanley during annual conference. So after an afternoon nap and a brief walk with Jacob's ashes. Oh, fuck, that's actually really fucked up.
There's another person's ashes?
No, it's my dog's ashes. I forgot about this. So in this childhood wagon of mine, there's a box, and the box is the box of my dog's ashes. I don't know where these ashes are right now. Like, I couldn't tell you. But we have them. And I think they were just like, this is hilarious. Let's pull out the dog's ashes.
The ashes are going to be best friends.
Oh, actually, this brings me to the next thing, for which there was no Facebook post. And it's also so fucking funny. You were at my mom's funeral. Also, you met Allison. Allison walks up to me in the, like, after party of the funeral. I think there's a word for that. And is like, I want to show you something. And shows me a picture. My mom was also cremated. And Allison brought Flatiron Stanley with her. She put them both on a table next to each other.
Your mom was in the bag too?
My mom was also, my mom's bag was kind of burgundy.
Okay.
So navy blue and burgundy velvet bags. Both of them have on sunglasses. But also my mom died kind of close to Christmas. Oh. So they both have reindeer antler headbands on. And Allison was like, I think your mom would have liked this. I was like, this would have been my mom's favorite thing. She would have loved this. So that was the last time I saw Flatiron Stanley.
Okay, so, like, out of all these stories, what do you think, like, what do you hope that people will do around your death?
Laugh. I think I would be really upset if I died. And also, this was true of my mother, because she said this before she died. I think if I died and I somehow posthumously knew that whenever people thought of me, they only cried, I would feel like I didn't do my job.
I was thinking if I could rig, like, your coffin to do some juggling or something.
I would be so down for that.
So, Maggie, now that we have gone to the grave and back, let's talk about the random word.
Okay. So, random word is something where Michelle will tell me a random word, and then I have to think of a story that has something to do with that random word. Sometimes the relationship is clear. Sometimes it's very unclear because my brain is mystical.
But it has to be fast.
But it has to be fast. It has to be just like... word, one, two, three, four, story. So, Michelle, what's the random word today?
Random word. I'm thinking about, like, cornbread right now, so let's just go with corn.
All right. I have a lot of competing things. Can I tell a lot of weirdly short stories?
You can have up to two stories.
Story number one. Our high school had a, if anyone remembers Post Secrets, it might still be real. I don't know. But it was this like internet thing in 2010 where people would send postcards to this random address with like their secrets.
And oh, I thought it was virtual only.
No. I mean, they would physically send the postcards, and the person who did it would then take pictures of the postcards.
Oh.
But also they would only be up for a week, and then the page would reset and then new things would come up. So it wouldn't be like, there is an archive, but like it would mostly just be like, what happened this week? And then you move on to it. And our school, somebody thought it would be fun to make one for our school, which didn't end up working out because our school only had 700 people. So you pretty quickly figured out who the Post Secrets were about, and we were children. So that got kind of illegal for the state pretty quick. So then they had become anonymous. So all of like they weren't allowed to have pictures of other things in them. And somebody did send one in once saying that they loved when there was corn in the cafeteria because they used the corn on the cob to masturbate. And that was really scandalous for our age. All right. That's corn story number one. Corn story number two. I have this friend, Sarah. Sarah is a nurse. And Sarah had a patient. He was an elderly man. And she had to clean out his bedpan once, and his bedpan had corn in it. bedpans are a thing where people poop into. And so she had to, like, clean it out, and she mentioned that, like, there was corn in his stool.
Because you don't digest corn, right?
Yeah, and he said he hadn't had corn in 20 years.
No.
Uh-huh.
That's not true. He must have had corn.
It could have been true. I didn't.
You didn't look at his corn shit?
Yeah, like, I didn't, like, read all the receipts of grocery stores to see if there was corn on anything over the past 20 years. Because also, I never met this man because I heard the story from somebody else. So those are my corn stories.
Maggie, I want to talk about dead people.
I have too many sausages in my mouth. Time for me to eat some peas. Eat some peas. Eat some peas. Time for me to eat some peas. Eat some peas. Eat some peas. I can't wait for you to hear this when you listen back in a few days.
Watch your step through the ridged archway here. Nope, that was wrong. Watch your step through the ridged archway here.
Also wrong.
Watch your step through the ridged archway here.
No.
Watch your step through the ridged archway here.
Ribbed.
Oh, ribbed. Words are hard.